Last year, more than 70 countries comprising more than half of humanity held elections. Now, from Senegal to Sri Lanka, new leaders face the urgency of meeting the aspirations of their citizens. One consistent theme across these societies was a desire among voters for more honesty from those they put in power. More than changing systems of government, that requires changing cultures of governing. As Luis Lopez, a MAM indigenous lawyer in Guatemala, tells us in our story today, Guatemalans want the country to move forward and prosper. It's Tuesday, July 22nd. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kurt Schillinger. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Israeli troops pushed deeper into Gaza. For the first time, they entered areas of Deir al-Bala, a central Gaza city where several aid groups are based. An Israeli military official on Monday confirmed the incursion. Some observers have speculated that Hamas may hold Israeli hostages there. The main group representing hostages' families said it was shocked and alarmed by the incursion and demanded answers from Israeli leaders. Harvard challenged funding cuts. It went to federal court Monday over $2.6 billion in cuts by the Trump administration. They came after Harvard's rejection of demands from a federal anti-Semitism task force that sought sweeping changes to the school's policies on protests, admissions, hiring, and more. Harvard has self-funded some research, but says it can't cover all losses. The Trump administration says the cuts align with its policies. Also, nations pledge to support Ukraine's missile defense. Norway stands ready to help fund Patriot missile systems for Ukraine's air defenses, Prime Minister Jonas Gahr Støre told reporters in Berlin Monday at a joint press conference with German Chancellor Friedrich Merz. The Netherlands also said it will make a substantial contribution to the delivery of the U.S. defense systems, Dutch newspaper De Telegraaf reported Monday, quoting the Dutch defense minister. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. In 2020, a tactical police unit killed Breonna Taylor while executing a nighttime, no-knock warrant on her boyfriend's apartment. The officer who shot her is white. Ms. Taylor was black. Brett Hankinson was convicted by the Justice Department under the Biden administration. Now, the Trump administration is arguing he should be sentenced to just one day in prison. That recommendation comes amid efforts to reverse policies meant to address police practices that too often result in violence against Black and Hispanic people. Henry Gass and Patrick Johnson report for the Monitor. President Bernardo Arevalo rode to power last year on a wave of demands for democracy from Guatemala's indigenous peoples. After 18 months in office, however, Mr. Arevalo has made slow progress in changing a political culture beset by corruption and organized crime. His supporters are frustrated, and his young political movement has split. Mi Hoyeris Dale reports from El Astor, Guatemala, for the Monitor. A court hearing in Boston on Monday highlighted the ideological clash stirred by the Trump administration's cuts in federal funding for private universities. Harvard is suing the government for what its lawyers see as a blatant, unrepentant violation of the First Amendment. The administration says it has the right to choose where it spends public dollars. That debate is part of a broader shift now underway as changes in federal funding alter the landscape of American education. Ira Porter reports for the Monitor. When Europeans carved up Africa more than a century ago, they drew a border through what was once the Borgu Kingdom, a civilization tracing its roots to the late 15th century. Some of the Borgu people ended up in English-speaking Nigeria, the rest in French-speaking Benin. Families were divided, their language evolving in different directions. Now, the two sides are restoring kinship and community through cross-border soccer matches and cultural festivals. Sherif Din Ahmed reports from Degaideru, Benin, for the Monitor. From the forward northern piers of San Francisco, three things are visible above all others. The campanile set up in the Berkeley Hills like a sharpened pencil waiting for words. Fog so thick, Mark Twain observed, a rider couldn't see his horse. And Alcatraz. Sometimes the fog wraps the rock so that the beam from its lighthouse can't escape. But when it lifts, our photo essay reveals, the flower gardens of former wardens cheer a shuttered prison yielding to rust. Melanie Stetson Freeman and Troy Aiden Sambahan report from San Francisco for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on why cities are safer. A decline in violent crime in many American cities is not just continuing, but accelerating. Data for the first half of this year showed a 22% drop in homicide deaths for Baltimore, compared with the same period in 2024. In Boston last year, homicides were down to their lowest number since 1957. Cities such as Detroit, Oakland, California, and San Antonio are on similar trajectories. Behind the turnaround is a mix of strategies that deliver a message of caring and consequences. Evidence of a city's care for residents can involve simple fixes, such as better street lighting or cleaned-up lots. Such measures encourage residents to venture outdoors, thus providing eyes on the street, as the late urban theorist Jane Jacobs put it. Also key are community groups that offer summer youth programs, treatment for substance misuse, and mental health and job counseling. For those prone to commit crime, however, Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott delivered a stern message earlier this year. "Take us up on your opportunities to change your life," CNN reported him as saying, "or end up indicted, headed to prisons." Meanwhile, police forces across the country are focusing their visibility on known hotspots of crime. They also rely more on community workers to avoid being drawn into non-criminal emergencies, such as mental or drug-induced distress or family arguments. Most gun violence in the United States stems not from pre-planned attacks, but from disagreements that flare up in the heat of the moment, according to Jens Ludwig, director of the University of Chicago Crime Lab. Staff and volunteers in community and faith groups are sometimes more alert than police to signs of escalation and are able to intervene or call on trained support. This shared police-community approach is a revolution in public safety, according to New York University's Policing Project. It reflects a consensus that the police should not be the only professionals responsible for public safety, project staff wrote in the New York Times in May. Crime prevention often requires non-punitive, transformative solutions, as a community program called Force Detroit describes it. That city initiative relies on teams of credible messengers, including former offenders, to stay in regular contact with individuals at risk of perpetuating violence. According to founder Alia Harvey Quinn, a team's authenticity and depth of caring, in turn, unlocks a set of honor codes that are within our community, she told CNN last fall. When individuals feel like people care, they show up and protect the work and the organization. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how considering things from the point of view of God, good, is a powerful basis for our prayers for the world. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Thanks to today's audio production team, Alyssa Britton and Hannah Guke.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2025.